I'm going to begin with a quiz. There's no prize. I'm afraid Deaconette is tapped out. If you think you know the answer, raise your hand. If you shout it out, you owe me $20. So anyway, what Broadway musical does this little snippet come from? Food, glorious food, hot sausage and mustard.
Oliver,
very good. And if you know the story, it's all these boys who are getting gruel every day and not a lot of that to sustain their lives. But they're dreaming about all this wonderful food, and that's what our readings are about today. We're talking about a God who is more than generous. We're talking about this eternal heavenly banquet where there is rich, juicy food. And not just a little bit, but a lot. We have the story of a king who is inviting people to his son's wedding reception. Lots of good food. And there's no accident to these parables, these stories, and even our corporal being that needs food to sustain ourselves is not an accident. God intended that from the very beginning. He intended us to be incarnated beings who would be sustained by different things, things that we call food. And we know from Jesus in his resurrected, glorified body that he ate. You know, he wasn't this spirit that floated around, but he had fish and bread and wine with his followers after he rose from the dead. And the Blessed Mother's body was physically raised into heaven. So we're going to have bodies, glorified bodies, and we're going to have a banquet of some sort. I don't know how it's going to happen, but this desire we have in this life to be satisfied with food is something that's built into the human being and is built into us for all eternity. Now, why do I say that? Why do we have these images of heaven in the scriptures? Well, as Christians, we're not supposed to be thinking, well, I just can't wait for that pie in the sky. I mean, yeah, that's good to think that way. But we're supposed to take these stories and live them here and now. Practice living in heaven here and now. So if we take the stories from Scripture, what would that demand of us? Well, God is the perfect host. He is hospitable. He provides for every nutritional need that we have. Therefore, how do we in this life provide that same hospitality and nutritional needs for other people? Are we hospitable like God? God wants us to come into his home and to be fed. Do we want people to come into our physical homes and to feed them, to show them through our generosity, our hospitality, what heaven is all about, what God is all about? We live in a world where there's lots of food, but a lot of food that's wasted. And how do we maneuver through that as Christians who believe that God always provides for our needs and then says to us, if you want to be my disciple, you have to provide for the needs of others? There's a wonderful little video on YouTube. The title is "The Gospel Comes with a House Key." Wonderful, intriguing title. And it's simply the story of a woman who underwent a conversion. And it was very simple. She wrote a letter to the local paper, very angry, critical letter. And a pastor and his wife read it, and they thought to themselves, let's invite her over for dinner, just to find out who she is. They didn't talk about religion. They just got to know her. Hospitality, hosting her. And over the course of many, many months, finally she opened up about her desires, her spiritual life. And as a result of that hospitality of that pastor and his wife, she became a Christian, a practicing Christian. And now what she does is host dinners in her home so that other people can enjoy her hospitality and come to know the goodness of the Lord. And really, when you think of it, it's very simple. It's very simple. All we have to do is open our homes to those who are in our neighborhood, to strangers, get to know them, show them the love of God, And then eventually, over time, they come to realize, I want to know more about God. So all of us have that opportunity to be hospitable, to be a host, to show what heaven is going to be like right here and now through our own hospitality, our own hosting of people in our homes. As you remember, the king had to go out into the highways and the byways to get people to fill his banquet. There are plenty of people in our highways and byways who are wandering around, who may not even be nourished well. Might we go out to them, find them, and invite them into our own homes? I can't think of anything more, I suppose, radical in some ways than to ask a stranger to come into our homes and to serve them, simply to be there for them. Sherry Waddell, who talks about discipleship and conversion, she says, the first thing we have to do if we want to convert other people, if we want other people to come in to the household of the Lord, is to listen, just to listen. We don't have to say anything, just to listen to them and listen and listen and listen until they recognize that we're there for them. We're there for them, to serve them, to be hospitable to them. So the scriptures are, again, they're not pie in the sky. You know, it's not say, okay, I'm just going to stay in my bubble, my nice, comfortable bubble, and I expect the government to do all this sort of thing. But rather, as Christians, we're supposed to be saying, how am I living heaven right now? How am I living my belief that God is a generous God, a hospitable God? How am I living the reality of God giving of himself to me, especially in this Mass, in his very body and blood? How am I giving to other people so that I can say to God, God, I'm following you. I'm doing what you did, and I want to be your faithful disciple. So, yes, we do read these readings and think of heaven, but we're also supposed to be thinking about the here and now. Simple human hospitality, providing for the nourishment of another person, giving a person some food, and being there for them to say, we value you, we honor you, because you are a child of God. You have been made in the image and likeness of God, and therefore I welcome you into my home. Now, I say that's radical because, at least in this country and probably most neighborhoods, we're more suspicious of the stranger as opposed to welcoming, even though we're going to be judged on how we welcome the stranger. That's what Jesus tells us. But for each of us, we're called to go beyond our fears, our anxieties, and really step out in faith and to serve our neighbors as we are called to do that. So just as we recognize the importance of food, and we all have our favorite foods, right? We look forward to them. What a wonderful thing it would be to share our own particular desires and our particular favorites with other people, to let them know that we care about them, that we love them, and that we want to be hospitable to them, just as God is hospitable to us. Now, of course, there's many, many opportunities God gives us each day to be hospitable, to be a host, to invite people into the wonderful gifts of God. But it's up to us to take that step, to take those opportunities and actually use them to be hospitable, to feed others, to be there for others, to listen to them so that they can come to a realization that this is really all about God, God's hospitality, God's generosity, and we share in it right now, and we want other people to share in it as well. So there's a great challenge for all of us each and every day to look at those opportunities and to act on them, to go beyond our nervousness, our fear, or what will that person say, and just do it. Because certainly God does that for each of us. Whoever we are, whatever we've done, he comes to us in a hospitable way, feeding us, nourishing us, so that we can be his faithful children. So how can we do any less?